Listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke, your daily Broncos podcast.
Cooler heads prevail in Broncos country. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back into a brand new episode of the podcast on this beautiful Wednesday all across Broncos country. From the South Stands to the end zone, you are Locked On Broncos. I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst and Broncos insider for the Locked On NFL Network. You could follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. Today's Locked On Broncos podcast brought to you by our good friends over there, NFL Game Pass, where this season you get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You get to see all the action from every game with full game replays. You can also replay an entire game and catch all the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. Ladies and gentlemen, on today's episode, Locked On Broncos, 48 hours removed from the Broncos' loss at home, Empower Field, Mile High, 16-14 against the Tennessee Titans. Cooler heads have prevailed. I mentioned at the top of this broadcast, there's a lot of things I think we learned from the Broncos' loss, and there's some perspectives I think we can come away with it being 48 hours removed in comparison to immediately a post-game report overall. So today's episode of the show, we are going to hear from Broncos head coach Vic Fangio, who met with the media a day after the conclusion of Monday Night Football. Vic Fangio right now, under the microscope of some decision-making, some time management, a lack thereof, not using timeouts. He's talked about it. He's addressed it. He's also held himself accountable, and he's also given updates on several Broncos. We know about A.J. Boye. Not quite sure really what's going on right now with Phillip Lindsay and that turf toe that he's got, but we hear from Broncos head coach Vic Fangio today. We take a look at the rookie stock report with Michael Ojemudia, Sang Bassey, Lloyd Cushenberry, and Tyree Cleveland, players that saw pivotal minutes in Monday night's action against the Titans. Then we get into Twitter Tuesday. We interact with the listeners of Locked On Broncos and those who engage on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. They sent in their Broncos questions. We answer a lot about the coaching, what the Broncos need to do going forward, and a short turnaround here with the Pittsburgh Steelers game coming up, Eastern Time Zone game. It's going to be an early 11 o'clock a.m. Mountain Time game for Broncos fans. And we got you covered with a pregame preview this week. Tomorrow's episode, Locked On Broncos, we're going to be talking with Chris Carter, the host of the Locked On Steelers podcast for Crossover Thursday. You do not want to miss out on that. Plus, Friday, we have a game preview. And the FDA just recently released a report saying that if you listen to Locked On Broncos 5 times per week, that you are in good health and that your mental health is actually at a sane place. So don't take my word for it. Take the FDA's word for it. Make sure you listen to Locked On Broncos Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Sunday. We got you covered here. Daily, exclusive Denver Broncos content. But let's hear from Broncos head coach Vic Fangio. He met with the media 24 hours ago, 24 hours after the Broncos and the Tennessee Titans did battle Empower Field a Mile High. And a lot of perspective, a lot of looking yourself in the mirror. And he was asked about the important decision that he had made. How come he didn't decide to go with the timeouts when the Tennessee Titans were on the 29-yard line? Here's what Broncos head coach Vic Fangio had to say about his decision not to use any of his timeouts.
Yeah, I think the kicker, you know, was worth it because he had been struggling anyway. I did miss calling a timeout after the second down play from the 29-yard line. When Henry got 13 yards down to our 16, I should have called timeout there. That was the one I missed.
In a moment like that, I do want to go back and reference, there were a lot of people that had the pitchforks and the torches, and they were going after Fangio. Look, Fangio made not a very good decision in the game, and he also attributed some of it that he was focused on the defense. And I want to get on this too, because then there's the people saying, well, he should focus on being, you know, being a head coach, managing the football game rather than calling the defense. Do you want anybody else calling the Broncos defense? Who knows Vic Fangio's defense better than he does? Vic does. Everyone says, well, Ed Donatell is the defensive coordinator. Ed Donatell is the assistant guy right next to Vic Fangio. So Vic Fangio is watching the up front, the front seven, and then Ed Donatell's responsibility is watching that secondary, and then he's got Ronaldo Hill on the other side up in the box. He's watching the safety. So it's really just a fluctuation of multiple guys watching one position unit, but Vic Fangio is calling the defense. He knows how to adjust better than anybody, and it hasn't been a problem until now, until there's a blunder where he mismanages the clock. And it cost the Broncos evident time to maybe have a chance to be able to kick a field goal or to maybe be able to move the ball downfield. everyone's outraged about that now, but I think your outrage is in a different area. Look, he's accountable for that. I have the perfect solution. The Broncos, I know they have a lot of coaches that are on that staff there, but the Broncos, Vic Fangio needs one guy in the box that he trusts, a football voice that says, hey, Vic, look, we're at a minute and 45 seconds left in this game. We got three timeouts. We need to think about using one right here. Being able to just have that voice in your ear, because I can tell you this, if you've ever coached a game of football, you understand exactly what it's like. During a game, it's easy to sit back. It's easy to coach. It's easy to say what a coach, what a player should have done. When you're watching on TV, I'm guilty of that myself at times, but I know what it's like being a coach. I know what it's like being a coordinator and a head coach. I know what it's like going out there and then having to make calls, having to make adjustments. You were focused on the game. It's like a chess match going on inside your brain against somebody else. And so you are focused on the game in a sense, but you do need that voice to say, hey, look, coach, you know, you got this. As a head coach, I always made sure if I called the defense, I was a D coordinator and a head coach. My thing that I had to do was I had to make sure I encouraged the offense, said, hey, coach, look, it's third and short. They've been stuffing us all day long. We got to be able to run it to the outside. Fake the inside, go outside. This is something they might give us. Now, I take that feedback. I give that to my coaches that I've coached with. And then also as a coordinator, I'm focused on their feedback. Like, hey, coach, you know, this is a situation. They keep me informed how many timeouts I have left when I'm focused. If I'm on the defense side of the ball, calling it. That is exactly where Vic Fangio is at. It hasn't been an issue until now, and I hope Broncos fans can really overcome this hump. I think the Broncos, I think Fangio is going to take a concerted effort into improving in this area so far. This is the first game of the season for the Broncos, first game for the coaches, first game for the players. We saw a lot of mistakes. Vic Fangio's mismanagement of the time was not the reason that the Broncos lost the game on Monday Night Football. It was one of the factors that led to them not having an opportunity to win it, but it wasn't one of the contributing factors that directly impacted their ability to win. That's not the reason. There's a snowball effect of offensive mistakes, defensive breakdowns, communication breakdowns, all things that are fixable, but it requires time and requires patience. And that's where I hope Broncos country can be. And in terms of patience as well, there were a lot of people that were really angry about Bradley Chubb's performance. I'm not sure why. Bradley Chubb got a couple quarterback hits on the evening. You know, it didn't show up in the stat book in terms of sacks and everything along those lines, where I think people rely too much on the statistics to form that analysis. Broncos head coach Vic Fangio had a realistic point of view on Bradley Chubb's injury. He's not where he wants him to be. Chubb is not where he wants to be either, but he's working his way to there from ACL surgery.
He did fine. I was encouraged by his play. I think he was too. You know, he's not where he was, but he's getting there. And I think he'll get there quickly. You know, I think last night's game for him was important.
Some of my biggest takeaways really from that game is just really what the Broncos need to do going forward defensively. They are going to see some teams that are going to try to quick scheme against them. You're going to see a lot of crossing patterns, a lot of stack formations. Right now, that's what works against this Broncos defense. They just have to continue to improve and attack at different angles. I love the aggressiveness by the Broncos on Monday night. You're going to face a different offense when you play the Pittsburgh Steelers and Ben Roethlisberger, the receivers that they have, and also a banged-up running game. They also lost Zach Banner at the right tackle position. Something to attack. We're going to talk about that in tomorrow's episode, Lockdown Broncos, with Chris Carter on our Lockdown Broncos, Lockdown Steelers crossover show here on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. We are here for you. But Broncos country, coming up here in just a moment, I want to take a look at the rookie stock report, obviously get your feedback as well on social media, how the Broncos rookies fared in their first ever NFL action on Monday night, going through and recapping it after watching the game once again, waiting for the All-22 to come out to get into the film room. But before we do that, I got to tell you guys about the sponsor of today's episode, Locked On Broncos, and that is our good friends over there at NFL Game Pass. This season, you get all the football on your time. With NFL Game Pass, you can catch every snap from every game with full game replays, and you can see all the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, the crazy catches, the wild comebacks, and the breakout stars from every game, every single week. It's all the action, all the football that you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place that you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. You get to go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Davante Adams, and many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. Continuing our conversation on today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. Ladies and gentlemen, just a reminder, you can catch us every single day. So if you listen on Monday, make sure you tune in Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Sundays for post-game recap, game previews, exclusive interviews, and breakdowns of the Broncos action from a week-to-week basis here, exclusively the Lockdown Broncos podcast. Let's take a look at our Broncos rookie stock report here. And I came away from Monday's game against the Titans under the impression that I was solidified, I was comfortable with seeing the Broncos rookie players that were on the field, seeing them out there. Derek Tuska got activated off the practice squad on Monday. He had a special teams tackle. That was about it. It was good to see him get downfield and make a play there. The first of hopefully many plays in the future for him as a Bronco potentially. But really, I think the focus of our rookie spotlight's got to go on the guys that are on the field on offense, guys that are on the field on defense, and special teams contributing in a major way. And that's Michael Ojemudia, starting off on the defensive side of the ball. I was really impressed, and I reported it a couple weeks ago that the Broncos, the growing sense of belief within the organization was that Michael Ojemudia was going to be the starter opposite of A.J. Boye when the Broncos go in their nickel package. Bryce Callahan in the base package will start on the boundary side, Boye on the field side, and when they go nickel, you can see Ojemudia on the outside, Callahan slide to the inside. That's exactly what we saw in the first series for the Broncos when they went nickel. They also went dime as well on the second defensive series. So we got to see Michael Ojemudia on the outside. We got to see Asang Bassey on the inside playing the nickel alongside Bryce Callahan. And I like the formation. I like the matchup there that the Broncos have, their versatility package. That's a package they can go to defensively where they can match up against guys. Now, coverage is going to obviously have to improve, and you're going to take some of the shots. And here's where I hope Broncos fans really consider where this Broncos team is at. And I think the reality of the situation, the Denver Broncos are entering year number two of a rebuild. They've got a lot of young, talented players. They've got some veterans on the team that they hope can lead and carry the torch a little bit, help these young guys find that example to create that culture that the Broncos really have, the expectations they have for themselves every single year as an organization from Pat Bowlen's vision. The Broncos, it may not always show up in the win-loss column, but the Broncos are rebuilding at this point in time. They're in year two, and I always encourage Broncos fans, you got to give it time, you got to give it patience. So when Michael Ojemudia, Asang Bassey, when they do make mistakes defensively, because it will happen, and it did happen on Monday night, you got to be patient with that because that's all part of about their growth and their development. But Michael Ojemudia, very impressive to me, the ability to react quickly on the ball, especially in zone coverage. A couple times he was in man coverage, got to get some inside leverage on a slant route with A.J. Brown late in that fourth quarter. And then there was that pass interference call. Look, that's just a moment where you're tired, you're on the field the entire time. Tennessee went with a no-huddle style of approach, and they got you grasping a little bit. That's stuff you're going to have to live with. But then again, I think Tennessee also could have made a statement there. They went to A.J. Brown on goal line fade on third down, and Michael Ojemudia, pretty decent coverage and trail technique. The ball was floated in front of A.J. Brown. He couldn't really corral it in. It's going to make Michael Ojemudia a better player going against a guy of Brown's talent because he is a very, very impressive young player, rising star, in my opinion, at the receiver position in the National Football League only in his second season. So Michael Ojemudia got tested on Monday night, and I liked how he responded. It's going to be big this week with Juju Smith-Schuster. It's going to be big with Chase Claypool and also Deontay Johnson. Who knows what the formula is going to be for this Broncos team considering the health status of A.J. Boye. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. But overall, I was very impressed with Michael Ojemudia. He had that pass breakup on the second defensive series on a third down in the dime package. That's the stuff I like to see, and he's going to be a focus of my Denver Broncos film review this week here, Cover 4 on the YouTube channel at Cody Rourke NFL on YouTube. Let's talk about Asang Bassey. Five tackles for the Broncos undrafted rookie gem that is now on their roster. He played a pivotal role. He had a one-on-one tackle against Derrick Henry. Also, he got tested a little bit by A.J. Brown. Even Corey Davis. Corey Davis hurt the Broncos on Monday night, and Bassey had a couple of great coverage plays on him. We're going to highlight that in our Cover 4 series as well. But Asang Bassey, we're not surprised. We've talked about it here on the podcast. We talked with Lyle Hemphill, his defense coordinator from Wake Forest. He comes up and he tackles. He was their best tackler in college at Wake Forest. And for him to come in and be a guy that's relatively smaller than everybody else, he wrapped up, he tackled, he did a pretty good job, he didn't whiff. That was one thing I really liked to see from Bassey. So he had a great showing as a rookie on Monday night. Take a look at the offensive side of the ball now here for this Broncos team. Lloyd Cushenberry. Now, I think overall in the broadcast, some people, I saw it on the timeline. That's why I always like to wait for the film to come out. If you know me, if you've been listening to this podcast a long time, you've been following me along, I like to wait for the full All-22 film to come out before making any kind of bold statement. But overall, from watching the broadcast, seeing the replays, Lloyd Cushenberry, there were a couple snaps Drew Locke took his eye off of. Great snaps, by the way, by Lloyd Cushenberry. I thought his snaps were pretty good for the majority of the evening. Drew Locke, I felt like it was jitters for him. didn't get the handoff on a couple of them, and dropped one of the snaps in shotgun. That's particularly on Drew Lock there. Lloyd Cushenberry did a pretty good job. He was solid in protection. Now, like I said, the All-22 is going to tell me a lot more. You can't really see the offensive line angles when you are watching the game broadcast, so you got to wait for the All-22. Hopefully it comes out today. If so, you know exactly what I'm going to be doing. I'll be looking at it. But I thought he had solid protection. Now, there was that play, obviously, on the shovel pass to Jake Budd on fourth and goal. The Broncos did not convert. Lloyd Cushenberry slipped on the interior. He was going against a zero technique, and Tennessee played it really well. They slanted across his face. He couldn't keep his footing. That also led to a little bit of the outcome of that play there, slowly developed by the Broncos. But overall, I came away with impressed with Lloyd Cushenberry and his poise, which, you know, you only hear that stuff from quarterbacks, but I thought Lloyd Cushenberry had a poise debut in the National Football League on the interior offensive line. Rookie wide receiver Tyree Cleveland, seventh-round pick out of Florida. You know, one catch, 7 yards here, and a solid blocking performance by him. And if you noticed anything on that one reception he had for 7 yards, he is ridiculously fast because it was a smoke screen route. They threw it quick to him. He was able to extend. He's got those long arms. He extended the arm, but he is so fast. He got ground quick. It seemed like it was going to be a tackle for maybe like a 3 yard gain. He ended up getting 7 and really outstretching. He's got a quick burst of speed, something that Broncos quarterback Drew Lock really noted on a couple weeks ago when we spoke with Drew. That's something that stood out to me about Tyree Cleveland. Special teams being able to get down there as a gunner. I'm looking forward to seeing more Tyree Cleveland as the Broncos season goes on. And if Cortland Sutton misses any more time, KJ Hamler, Tyree Cleveland's in a great situation here for the Broncos. Now we got to get to the first round selection, rookie wide receiver, Jerry Jeudy. I was very blown away by Jeudy. No surprise in comparison to some of the film reviews we've done on him, what we've seen from him in training camp. Really, really great night for Jerry Jeudy, minus the 2 drops, and I think that's really what a lot of fans are focusing on. And it's not necessarily, I think, an issue for Jeudy that I think fans should be worried about. I went back and I watched it several times. I replayed it fast. I replayed it slow. To me, on those plays, one was an RPO, and one was just, you know, he created great separation, got open. But the common denominator was his eyes were looking to get upfield before he actually secured the football. And I think that's just first game NFL jitters. And his teammates were very supportive of him after the game. He knows that Jerry Jeudy's very hard on himself. And teammates were out there in support of him saying, look, he's going to bounce back. I think that you can expect that in a big way this upcoming Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m. Mountain Time, when the Broncos travel to Heinz Field to take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. So keep an eye on that. But Broncos country, that is my rookie stock report. I want to hear your thoughts. I'm going to send out a tweet on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. Let's talk about the stock market on these Broncos rookies so far after week one. But in just a moment, we're going to be talking with our Twitter followers and listeners here, Lockdown Broncos, for a special Twitter Tuesday. You sent your responses in yesterday. I'm going to go through and answer some of the very good questions that we received yesterday on social media. But before we get into all that, I got to tell you guys about the sponsors of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos, and that is our good friends over there, rockauto.com, which is a family-owned business that's been serving auto parts customers online for over 20 years. That's 20 years of amazing service, close family, and tight-knit. That's why I rock with rockauto.com. They have everything that you could need for your vehicle, whether it's an engine control module, new brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, a new carpet, or even new rims for your vehicle. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, you get everything that you need in just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. You want to talk about convenient? That's the easiest way to do it. Just a few clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly browse through all the parts that are available for your vehicle based on year, make, and model. You get to choose and filter through the brands, the specifications, and the prices that you prefer. That's why I love rockauto.com, because their prices are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much for the same parts elsewhere? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Lockdown Broncos in there, how did you hear about us box, so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts that your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Then we got to flip it to our other sponsor of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. That's our good friends over there, sportsbetting.com. Sportsbetting.com is now live and taking action in Colorado. Sportsbetting.com is passionate about sports and the authority on sports betting. With their own in-house bookmakers, sportsbetting.com is known for their sharp odds and their low juice. That means the best prices for you. New players get a welcome bonus, a 100% risk-free week of sports betting up to $500. Sportsbetting.com offers no-hassle bonuses with just a one-time playthrough. Take advantage of their NFL touchdown and NBA playoff MVP promotions with can't-lose offers on first touchdown and triple-double scores. Get your action on at the home of sports betting. That's sportsbetting.com/LockedOnBroncos. Getting into our conversation here on Twitter Tuesday, Broncos Country sent in some tweets at Cody Rourke NFL. We always send out this notification on Tuesday. You can have your Broncos questions answered here on the podcast every Tuesday, every Wednesday, depending on what's going on. If the Broncos play on Monday, obviously that's not going to be the scenario going forward, but Tuesday and Wednesday, we got you covered here with Twitter Tuesday. We always like interacting with you, the listeners of the podcast. So if you want to get in the conversation on Twitter, at Cody Rourke NFL, at Locked On Broncos, we ask the question, reply to this with your Broncos questions following week one and ahead of the week two matchup against the Pittsburgh Steelers. We're going to start things off here with Kazakh underscore space pump. He says, this game felt straight out of the 2019 season, and he's referencing the Broncos-Titans game. He says, I thought a lot of these one-score heartbreakers could mainly be attributed to poor play calling in the second half by Scangarello. Does this deja vu mean that some of the blame could be placed outside of the OC and more on Vic Fangio? Look, I think anytime you look at the outcome of a game, anytime a team loses, there's always a collective share of blame to go around. I think everybody is throwing the blame on Vic Fangio for this loss, and that's necessarily not the case. Look, if you truly know football, you know that Vic Fangio, what he did, yeah, it was a big mistake. It cost the Broncos time to maybe have an opportunity to set themselves up in a position to maybe kick a game-winning field goal or maybe to even score, maybe to win the game. You know, you can make that argument here, but the reality is the Broncos lost this game due to a collective variety of issues, drops on third down, not really being able to maintain. Look, the Broncos had the ball at midfield at 4 minutes and 51 seconds in the fourth quarter, and then they went with a double move, a wheel route type option to Deshaun Hamilton on 3rd and 8, and Drew Lock overshot him there. There was a combination of stopping on the play, but also just overshooting him. And I think for the Broncos, we saw them take a lot of chances downfield, and I think the Broncos, I think Drew Lock, I think Pat Shurmur, they got to be smart. They got to be methodical. You got to understand where to take your shots. In my opinion, taking a deep shot on 3rd and 8 when you don't have your best wide receiver and you're not really getting a guy that's really getting open, you got to be able to attack the crossing patterns. You got to attack on the interior. Now, Tennessee, they sent a lot of pressure at Drew Lock. They sent some nickel pressure. They'd blitz the edge slot guy at Drew Lock as well. They'd sent the edge rushers. They'd pinch them in and send somebody else from the outside. That's where you got to get the ball to your hands quickly. If you notice, if you're watching the game, if Drew Lock's taking a 3-step drop, ideally it's going to be a short to intermediate throw, and it's going to be quick. If it's a 5-step drop, more than likely it's going to be play action. It's going to be setting up deep crossing patterns and also deep vertical routes. If it's a 1-step drop, it's a quick throw. It's a 1-step hitch throw. And you got to be able to determine where the route combination is going. And on 3rd and 8, I don't believe taking a 5-step drop and trying to throw it all the way downfield is the right formula. So that's where I think the Broncos, I think that's where Shurmur and Lock, they can improve on. Don't always go for the home run ball unless you absolutely got it, because in the fourth quarter, with 4 minutes and 51 seconds left on third down, you miss out on an opportunity. The clock stops. You got to punt it back, and you give Tennessee all this time. They milk the clock out, essentially, and then they set themselves up because your Broncos defense is gassed, because really they've been on the field the entire time, majority of the second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter. They were on the field when the Broncos offense wasn't. And that right there, you got to help your defense out. You got to be able to get that equal balance. And the Broncos didn't have that on Monday night. You can attribute that to maybe first game jitters. Obviously, no preseason games. I'm not going to make excuses, but I'm also going to be realistic here and say, look, I don't think we've got the real evaluation yet about what this Broncos team can be. We've seen glimpses of what they can be. We've seen some glimpses of areas that they desperately need to improve on. I think against play action, against some of those stacked, condensed wide receiver formations, the Broncos got to work out a lot of that, because Pittsburgh, they're going to run a lot of crossing routes with some vertical concepts to free up those guys underneath. Deontay Johnson is going to be one of those guys. Obviously, you take a look at the running back situation. Who knows what James Conner's status is. You can tune in to Chris Carter tomorrow here on the Lockdown Broncos podcast as we go through a Lockdown Broncos, Lockdown Steelers crossover. But those are the things that I'm looking at overall for this team. But yes, Kazakh, I do think it did feel a little bit like the 2019 season. And in a sense, it goes back to that Colts game. Adam Vinatieri missed those field goals, and all of a sudden is the hero at the end, kicks the game winner. Same thing with Gostkowski. He missed those three field goals. He missed the extra point. He kicked the game winner. Felt a lot like that Colts game, unfortunately, for the Broncos in this one. Dr. Knupp says, given Fangio's history of poor clock management decisions, any chance that he passes that responsibility off to Shurmur? No, that doesn't make any sense. There is no way a head coach for an NFL team will pass up the responsibility of managing the game and also having those final say in decisions on offense and also defense. You don't give that up to anybody, regardless of experience. That's the head coach's job. Now, collectively, I think the coaching staff, they all need to be collaborative with one another. This is one of those situations. You got to be able to communicate, like, coach, we only have this much amount of time left to be able to get that. Coach, you know, if you don't call a timeout here, we don't know if Locke and the offense is going to have an opportunity to get on the football field, maybe make a play. Those are the things you got to communicate as a coaching staff. I know it's cliche to say hindsight is 20/20, but that's really how it's got to be. I'm not necessarily worried. I mean, everyone's talking about a history of poor clock management decisions. It's never been an issue until today. So I go back to my earlier point in today's episode of the show. Bradford 505, he says, do you think that Melvin Gordon will be a workhorse back, or will he split time with Freeman as they intended with Phillip Lindsay? You know, to be honest with you, I think a lot of that depends on the severity of Phillip Lindsay's injury. I think right now, due to the availability, I think Royce Freeman will be a guy that gets in, but I think Melvin Gordon will be the workhorse back. I mean, he proved it. He looked good outside of that fumble. I was impressed with Melvin Gordon in terms of my takeaway there. My man Drake Ricard all the way in Hawaii says, what's your take on the coaching mistakes, specifically the shovel pass and the 4-minute drill? Do you think that they're still trying to figure out what works? Yeah, you know, week one, you like I said, and I hate, and I want to, I'm not going to use it as an excuse. If I do, I give you guys permission to virtually cyber slap me in the face. But for the first couple of weeks, at least for the first 3 to 4 weeks, I think that not having an NFL preseason, not really going against anybody but your own guys, is going to have a negative impact on you. Now, the Broncos and NFL teams, they are going to adjust, but the teams that are putting up a lot of points, the teams that are having a lot of success on defense, those guys have been playing with each other for quite some time. It's not like they're this newly formed unit that just gets thrown together and they're having success. It's a culmination of guys that have played together before, returning guys on offense, returning guys on defense. Those teams aren't having as big of an issue in terms of carryover. The Broncos, they got new guys in new positions on defense. They got new guys in new positions on offense. They're young. You're going to have to live with that. That's part of the growing pains here. But I do think that there were evident mistakes all across the board on players, on coaches. You know, I'm a big believer in taking the points. I get it. I like the fact that the Broncos wanted to be aggressive on fourth and goal. Really, when you're on the 1 yard line, you have a chance to. If your defense, you're confident in your defense, it shows that Vic Fangio is. You know, unfortunately, you give a couple big plays afterwards. But outside of that, the Broncos didn't surrender any points after that. The shovel pass, in my opinion, took way too long to develop. I think Tennessee did a great job defensively slanting right into it. It's going to take 3 to 5 weeks for this team to get in a rhythm that I believe on the offensive side of the ball, and also defense. They're going to get there as well. But Broncos country, that'll do it for today's episode. Locked On Broncos here on Twitter Tuesday. Thank you so much for your responses on Twitter. Like I said, I love to interact football, Broncos football, NFL football, whatever it may be, with everybody. We talk about it every day here, Locked On Broncos. And when I say every day, I mean every day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Sundays, Locked On Broncos has a new episode. So if you're listening to this podcast right now 1 day per week, you need to change that to 5 days per week. We got you covered with daily exclusive Denver Broncos content, X's and O's. We hear from players. We break down some of the biggest storylines of Dove Valley, only on the Locked On Broncos podcast. But with that said, Broncos country, I'm Cody Rourke, your host as always. Join us tomorrow because we have a very special episode, a crossover Thursday. Chris Carter of Locked On Steelers joins the broadcast, and we break down some of the storylines for Broncos versus Steelers at Heinz Field. Early a.m. kickoff, Eastern time zone game for the Broncos week two. It's going to be a tough one against that defense. What do the Broncos need to do to come out on top? What do they need to do to put themselves in a position to succeed? We talk about that with Chris on tomorrow's episode, Locked On Broncos, here on your favorite podcast provider.